Hi, Denise Thompson here, managing partner of the DeJulius Group. I wanted to personally thank you for joining this edition of our interview series. We take pride in selecting and bringing you contemporary thought leaders and intriguing conversations. We also invite you to join us at the Secret Service Summit, where you'll see best-selling authors, brand executives, and motivational masters that we've interviewed. Enjoy.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. This is Dave Murray from the DeJulius Group, and today I am very pleased to be joined by Tim Gard. Tim is a Hall of Fame speaker, and Tim, let's jump right into it because I am so impressed by your resume. You've spoken at over 2,000 events, and can you tell us about what you do and all your travel and all the groups you get to speak with over and over?
Yeah, I love what I do. I've been a professional speaker now for 20 years, gotten to travel all over the world from Texas to Tasmania. And I talk about how to use humor as a business skill, something that everybody can do. Let's see, I'm a CSP, that's a certified speaking professional. That puts me in the top quarter of the speakers. And I'm also a Hall of Fame member, which is Council of Peers Award of Excellence, and there are only 150 living members worldwide. It's been a fun journey, Dave. It's just been a great time.
That sounds fantastic. It's very, very impressive. Now, you mentioned using humor as a business skill, and I've been reading some of the things you have out there. I've been watching some of your presentations, and I'm just curious, do you ever get pushback on that concept? Because I just think of all the times that I've heard people say if work was fun, they'd call it something else.
Well, I think that's an excellent question. The biggest thing that I run into that is a pushback is when people think it's about telling jokes or not doing your work, or, I mean, those are the sort of things that people will say. And then I explain to them that, you know, having fun is being really, really good at what you do. That when you can do that voodoo, you do so well, better than almost anybody else. I think that's fun. And it doesn't matter what that job is or what that career is. It's that we never coast, that we just keep trying to learn more, to improve our skills, to get better and better and better. And I explained to them also that humor is at the heart of creativity. I've listened as business owners and companies have told their employees that they need to be more resourceful or that they need to be more creative. Humor is simply the combining of ideas that aren't normally associated with one another. That's all it is. It's not about telling jokes. It's about really being creative and teaching yourself to see things differently.
Wow, that's really a great point, and I really had not thought about it that way. And as you mentioned that it's not about telling jokes, I had a vision in my head of that old Saturday Night Live character making all the jokes at the copy machine, and that's not what it's about. It's not the guy making jokes at the water cooler. It's about how you behave.
That's correct, and it's really about how you see parts of your job, about how you see yourself within it. You know, there's every job out there has something that's potentially stressful about it, and you have to be able to learn to see those things or understand that it's always going to be that way. I used to be a fraud investigator with State of Montana, and I had other fraud investigators get angry and say, people are lying to us. And I say, it's fraud. I mean, what were you expecting to happen? You know, I mean, if that's what makes you mad, then you're just going to be angry all the time. So every job has that. Every job.
Oh, that's great. I wanted to ask you about Comic Vision. It's something that you created, and you see it as a way for people to become more resourceful and more resilient. And you talked about that a little bit already. But can you share with us how you came to create this?
Sure. The Comic Vision is about learning to see and appreciate all of the things that go on around us, not just the funny things, but even the unfunny things, and that you take what you see and then turn it just a little bit so that you see it at a slightly different angle. And it teaches us to learn to act and not react to the situational stressors that are out there. A great example, I was in Miami, it's 90 degrees out, it's midnight, it's 100% humidity. I get up to my hotel room, open the door to relax, and it's a blast furnace, the air conditioner won't work, and I call the front desk, and this young man goes, "Sir, I can't talk to you right now. We had a transformer blow up outside the hotel." And I said, "Is it the Decepticons? Am I in danger here?" And the guy goes, "No, it's just one transformer." And I said, "One could kill us all. Didn't you see that movie?" And he said, "What would you like me to do?" And I said, "You need to call Optimus Prime. That's what you need to do." They comped my room. The guy gave me a bottle of wine, and the manager gave me a bottle of wine. But the biggest thing is, instead of getting angry or upset, having a comic vision helps us be able to act and not react. And as far as customer service goes, I think that's gigantic, that people really stop, and even whether they mentally take a step back or physically take a step back, change that angle just a little bit, then I think they can learn to use their comic vision.
What great advice. And it also seems to me it's the ability to not get caught up in the moment.
You know, that's a really good insight to it because, I mean, for instance, if I'm at the airport and they're telling me my plane's delayed due to a mechanical or something, it doesn't do any good to stand there and yell at them, and yet that's what people do. And
right.
At baggage claim a couple weeks ago, they lost my bag, and guy in front of me is yelling at him, and I thought, this is the one person that can help you. You know, why?
Right.
They didn't do anything. You know? So I think when you start opening your eyes and literally seeing things from a different angle, it helps us be able to, again, to learn to act and not react. When you change your perception, you create a different reality. And I think that's pretty positive.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. That's great advice. Now, Tim, I have to ask, because when I was trying to come up with some questions to ask you and reviewing your resume, your very long and detailed resume of all the great things that you have done, I had a thought. I have to think that with all the events you've spoken at, all the places you have traveled, that not only have you imparted a lot of wisdom to people, but I'd have to think that you've learned a lot along the way as well. Can you share with our listeners some of the lessons that you have learned when you have gone and done your work across the globe?
Sure. I mean, every single place I've been, we have a common thread that we actually all smile and laugh in the same language. I was in Johannesburg, South Africa at a conference there with folks from all over the world, and we were all just laughing and laughing, and it was an incredible moment for me that, you know, babies don't need to be taught how to laugh, that this is something that's very innate. And each of the countries that I've been to, people celebrate laughter, but we also tend to, as we get older, almost suppress it because we don't think that's being an adult. And I think that in Australia, one of the folks there talked to me about the tall poppy, that the tall poppy that stands out gets lopped off. And I said, so, you know, you can't stand tall then for, you know, or really excel. And they said, that's not about that. What it's about is that you're drawing attention to yourself and trying to make yourself appear better. And I said, well, am I a tall poppy? And they said, no, we're the ones that are telling you that we can learn from this and grow from it. It's hard because, like in Thailand when I was there, people can be happy about literally anything in any circumstance and truly be thankful for what you have. There's so many different messages from so many different parts of the world, but I'm so thankful about being able to travel around to see all those things, and that it's been not just a fun, but a real learning experience for me too.
Wow, that's great, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in person because just from that alone, you bring such a unique perspective to what you do.
Well, and one of the things, one of the biggest things that I learned that I forgot to tell you there was some people are visual and some are auditory learners. My programs have a lot of unusual props that I use in very ordinary circumstances and very ordinary props that I use in very extraordinary stories. And the similarities, it's finding those things like a cubicle is a cubicle is a cubicle, whether it's in Germany or Singapore or Thailand. It's that the people that are visual need to find visual things to help them locate their comic vision, the auditory people that can learn to tell stories. But, you know, a lot of the things that I bring with me, like the cubicle crab that you can see on my website, but you put your hand in it and you can go across the top of a cubicle and go, are we being a little crabby today? That sort of humor and laughter also resonates globally.
Oh, that's great. So here's my next question I have for you, because we talked about how many places on this earth you have been and worked. So we obviously know that you have flown quite a bit. And in 2001, you got together with Steve Cassell to write a book called Just Plain Funny. I'd have to think that writing a book like that would be a pretty fun experience. Any great stories from that process?
Yeah, it was really fun. Steve and I have been speaker friends for a long time and decided to put our stories together about our travels in the world. And so we just started writing things. And the first thing I discovered was is that writing humor is really different than saying it, that being able to write it out, I think, has actually made me funnier on stage because you've got to be able to just have people read it and laugh. And what we did was I wrote these stories up and sent them in to Steve to see what he thought. And he said, Tim, I've heard you say these, but he said, they just missed something. So I started writing them, taking them with me on the airplane. And the flight attendants, I'd show them to the flight attendants, and based on their reaction, I'd learned to tweak it a little bit here or there until I was consistently getting a laugh every time. And then they would have to tell me a bunch of their stories, which gave me more stories for the sequel book, which is Save Me the Middle Seat. And I would hear the most amazing stories that go on. Southwest Airlines had one of their flight attendants up in the overhead bin that they were telling people not to open the first bin, and people come on, and when they pop it open, the flight attendant would yell, what'd they just tell you to do, you know? And every flight attendant on every plane has extremely funny stories. I found that it's just getting them to start talking, and once they get going, it's story after story after story.
Oh, I bet. And what a great idea of using that audience to help make sure that your stories were funny. That's great. If anyone's going to know, it's them.
That's right. And the other part to it is that as you're telling the stories, I mean, everything in the book is positive. It's not derogatory towards the airlines. It's one of these things where if it wasn't something they actually saw themselves or experienced, then we left it out. But yeah, just hilarious stuff goes on in those planes every day. The flight attendants just don't tell us about it very often.
Wow, that's great. So here's another question I have for you, Tim, because I was thinking, after watching you speak and some of your videos, you use a lot of real-world examples, things that happened to you. So it got me thinking, can you think of a time or two, a couple of instances where you were most proud of your ability to use humor or use your comic vision to diffuse a situation, something that someone else like me or someone else listening might have just gotten really upset and started yelling, but you were able to take it to a different level because of your ability?
Well, sure. I was on a flight and had gotten upgraded, which is a woohoo for me. I was just great. And I'm getting my stuff in the overhead bin, and I'm seated in the bulkhead aisle seat, and the lady that was sitting in the window had this big giant, like a big gulp drink or something, I don't even know where she got it, full of soda, so full of pop, and I put my stuff in the overhead, and it was the the cup was sitting between our seats, and I knew she was, I just knew she was going to knock it over, and she did. So she knocks it over and dumps, I mean, a lot of stuff on my seat, and the flight attendant saw it, and she just freaked out, and I said, I specifically asked for coffee on my seat. I did not ask for soda. I don't know what this airline is coming to. And they all just burst out laughing, and we cleaned it up. But, you know, yelling at either one of them, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, it accomplishes nothing. But the flight attendant told me later that that woman, when she'd gotten up to go to the bathroom, had said that she was so embarrassed she thought she'd die. And she said she was stunned that anybody would react that way. And it, I mean, it's not about bragging. It's just that I really do try to avoid that snap, that pop, that that instant reaction instead of really looking and seeing, you know, it's going to survive. No matter what happens, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, it just made me think. Have you always been this funny? Were you like this growing up, going through high school?
Well, you know, I was always the class clown. My dad was career Air Force, and we moved every 2 years. And we lived in little tiny radar bases up in Lewistown, Montana, and Kalispell, and Anchorage, Alaska, at those radar bases. And my older brother played music. I was funny. My younger brother was in theater. All of us learned different coping mechanisms. And what was amazing to me was that I would get in trouble over and over. But as I got older, I discovered that the best thing wasn't that I could be funny. It's that I could teach others how they could use it too. That literally anybody can learn to do this and learn to use the humor, or to see the humor at least, even if they only do it for themselves. Then that was a big aha moment for me, was being able to share it like that.
Ah, great. So, Tim, the next question I have for you, my last question for you today is this. For someone who's listening right now and will be seeing you for the first time at the Secret Service Summit in November, what are some of the key takeaways you would hope for them to have after seeing you live?
Well, first of all, make sure they sit up front, because I give a lot of free stuff away during my program. my takeaways are is that I would say that, number one, when you shift your perception, you create a different reality. That to have fun, be really good at what they do, that's what's fun. To be extremely good, to use humor first for yourself, to be able to refresh and renew yourself, and then to share it with others, to help them be able to do that voodoo that they do so well too. I hope that they see that anybody can use humor. There's visual, there's auditory humor, there's all types. But that humor isn't just inappropriate at work. It's totally appropriate if it's harnessed as a business skill like leadership. We can learn leadership skills. You can learn humor skills too. And it's, as Britney Spears said, it's not rocket surgery.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And on that note, I would like to thank you for joining us today. I am sure that people listening in our audience are just as excited as I am to see you live and in person at the Secret Service Summit this November 5th and 6th in Cleveland, Ohio. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I can't wait to see you live and in person.
Sounds good, my friend. I look forward to being there. I hope to see all of you there. Bye.
Great. All right. Thank you, Tim, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We will talk to you next time, and we'll see you at the summit in November.
This interview series was brought to you by the DeJulius Group, an international consulting firm and producer of America's number one customer service conference, the Secret Service Summit. Please visit thedejuliusgroup.com for additional audio content and secretservicesummit.com to register for the conference. Your feedback, suggestions, and comments are always appreciated. You can email me directly at denise@thedejuliusgroup.com. Thanks for listening.